Welcome to All Sides with Anna Stever. If you thought lead pipes were a thing of the past, you'd be wrong. Ohio is estimated to have more than 700,000 lead service lines still in use. Replacing them could cost $5 billion. Leaving them could have lifelong consequences for Ohio's most vulnerable children. Today, we're talking about what it would take to replace every lead pipe in Ohio. We begin with a state lawmaker who has a personal connection to this mission, Representative Dontavius Geralds of Columbus. Welcome back to All Sides.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dontavius, you grew up in Cleveland, and you spent a lot of time in your grandmother's apartment where there was lead. Can you describe or share what happened?
Yeah, so essentially what took place was I was a kid that I would watch the sci-fi shows with my grandmother, and my grandmother had a lot of antique furniture, and one of the furnitures was painted with lead. And for folks who don't know, lead chips taste sweet. And that's the reason why a lot of kids ultimately consume it, because once you start eating it, you think it's like Willy Wonka, right? You're like, oh my goodness, the furniture is sweet. And then, so I was that kid that was eating on the paint chips, not knowing that I was putting poison in my body, and got really sick. And my mother noticed that. She was like, you know what, I got to take you to the doctor. And so they ran all types of tests, and then I came back with severe high levels of lead. And that was due to a prolonged exposure to lead from that furniture my grandmother had. And that started a whole journey for me as a little baby, little kid, you know, learning how to speak, getting various tests, and just really thinking through having the healthcare system help me navigate this impact on my life now. And that's, I'm glad to say I'm a state legislator now, because I get to talk about it in a personal way and hopefully pass laws that change people's lives.
Research from the Cleveland Clinic shows elevated lead levels lead to higher risks for ADHD, heart disease, dementia, and older age. So I guess, as much as you're comfortable, were you impacted by
Yes, you think? Well, I think so. I think what I'll tell you is, and I shared this as part of my story, when I was in elementary school, I had a speech pathologist. And from the time I was in elementary school to the time I graduated out of fifth grade, I had special help. I needed help to learn how to speak. And, you know, maybe that's now why I speak so well, right? Because I was able to, you know, get that additional support. But I think that was partly due to just some of the impact of lead on my cognitive abilities. And, and here's the thing. Lead is very hard to get all the lead out of your body, particularly once it gets into your bones. And so as a kid, when you're young, your bones are still developing and you have lead poisoning, you can have long-term exposures well after the moment that exposure ceases, because as your bones grow, they expel that lead, and then you ultimately have higher rates of lead in your body again. And so, what I will tell you is I'm thankful for this healthcare access that I had, my mama, and for her to push me into the hospital when she did, and all the support I got along the way, because it helped me stave off maybe a different life path than the one I'm on right now.
As a mom, I can't imagine the guilt that I would feel if I had put my kid unknowingly in an environment where they had such a high exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. Most folks don't know, though.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, you would, I still don't think it would stop the mom guilt.
I understand. I understand.
Ohio is estimated to have anywhere from 500,000 to 750,000 lead pipes still in service, putting us third in the nation, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. That is certainly not the kind of list that we want to be at the top of.
Oh, absolutely not. Can I just also say, we hold in Ohio 8.1% of all lead pipes across this nation. 8.1%. And that is just almost 10% of all the lead pipes that currently exist are here in Ohio, and people unknowingly are drinking from them.
The rate of lead poisoning in Cleveland, where you come from, is four times the national average. What's your reaction to that statistic?
Well, it shows you that lead poisoning, while it is pervasive across all socioeconomic backgrounds, it hits hardest in the lower income communities, communities that are older. And Cleveland is a very old city, and infrastructure may not have been replaced over time, obviously evident by this data. And what we know is when you don't have healthcare access, when you don't have infrastructure redevelopment, it leads to these higher rates of exposure, particularly around lead. And for many families, they don't even know. And that's kind of the takeaway and the reason why I went around the state talking about my bill was because so many families don't even know that lead, they're drinking from tainted water. And so I'm just trying to do my part. But it is a surreal experience to know that in my hometown, we are seeing high rates of lead poisoning for young people that look like me growing up.
Let's talk about your bill. You want to eliminate all of Ohio's lead water lines within 15 years. What will it cost? How do we get there?
So it basically will cost roughly around $4 billion. And it's over a 15-year time span. And we will work with municipalities, county, city officials to ensure that we're investing strategically those dollars that will come from the state to really begin to address the removal of lead in a way that doesn't necessarily harm communities and or doesn't stop us from the day-to-day activities of getting water and whatnot. And so we also are going to work with a lot of union members to and retirees and really think about the workforce aspect of this, because this is a huge undertaking for our state to remove 750,000 lead pipe service lines across Ohio. And so being strategic with the right investment, using the dollars that we receive from the infrastructure bill, for example, and other dollars that we're also receiving from the federal government, this particular bill, House Bill 534, lays really a framework for over the next 15 years, how do we begin to unpack, remove, and ultimately create a better healthcare system and water system for every single Ohioan? And every dollar we invest in doing this, there's a $45 return on that investment, not just in terms of preventative care, but also the economic benefit that happens when we are investing in our infrastructure.
And for context, for those wondering, $4 to $5 billion over 15 years is not as much as you might think in the context of the state budget. We spend about, what, $88 billion yes. per year yes. in our state budget.
That is correct.
Sometimes when we talk about numbers these big, it can be hard to contextualize what we're talking about. Like the total amount spent on education each year is like $22
billion. Yes, yes.
So we are getting down to the final weeks of this General Assembly. What are the odds you think that 534 passes, or do you think you might want to incorporate it into next year's budget?
So there's a couple of routes. One, the reason why we did the Get the Lead Out tour was to, one, educate families that this is a real issue for Ohioans. A lot of folks don't even know whether or not their home has a service lead service line or not. And so educating families was the first priority for me with our bill. Now I'm educating my lawmakers, my fellow colleagues. I was able to pass recently in this GA a bill that would help families remediate lead lines that they are responsible for with Representative Blaisdell. And so I know that there's bipartisan support when it comes to removal of these lead lines. And I know that it is the governor's priority to remove lead lines. And so that coupled with the bipartisan nature of this bill, it is my intention to hopefully see some hearings before we end lame duck and go into the next GA. And then it, beginning in the new GA, definitely talking about how do we incorporate this in the budget, because this is a fiscal appropriation ultimately, because we just need to set aside funds to really begin to hit home on removing lead lines once and for all in the state of Ohio.
The Ohio EPA and a program called H2 Ohio, which is a project of Governor Mike DeWine, they have been working over the last couple of years to replace lead lines with modest allocations, and they've been particularly focused on daycare centers and homes where young children live, which So I want to play a cut from an H2Ohio video. This is Clint Zimmerman, the superintendent of public works in Norwood, Ohio. He's talking about a project to replace all the lead lines on a residential street.
The system was began in 1894, and because of age, there is a possibility of finding high levels of lead lines in the system. It's when the H2O Ohio funds were made available to us. We were able to use that just to do the private side lead replacement for the homeowners at no cost to them. And we actually were able to replace every lead line we found on the street. So we can say Regent Avenue, the city of Norwood, is a particularly lead-free street.
What's fascinating to me about this project and others H2 Ohio is doing is that the cost to the homeowners is nothing. Those homeowners in Norwood didn't pay a penny for this removal. It's a grant. I think that's what makes it possible,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So H2 Ohio is one such a lifesaver for so many families. And I do, again, commend the governor for really pushing and spearheading alongside our General Assembly to invest in those dollars so that those families in Norwood, for example, would no longer have to experience tainted water. The truth is, one of the issues in terms of addressing this reality in Ohio related to lead service lines, for folks who are listening, is every community has a different way of looking at how they assess where these lines are. So you have some communities that are very evolved in their policies, in their maybe set asides in terms of funding. And you have some communities that don't even know where to begin. And so creating this statewide plan through 534 helps kind of equalize the playing field, if you will, where communities, whether it's rural, city, whether it's suburban, whether it's Appalachian, right? We all are looking across our system, say, anywhere there is a lead line, we should have a strategy that's consistent across the board to remove it for these families.
Yeah, there was a woman, a family, the Lewis family from Cincinnati, who H2 Ohio features, and she was pregnant when she got a grant to have her pipes replaced mm-hmm. in her home. And when she contacted the office, they told her there was a long waiting list.
Yes.
And the only way to cut the line was to have a child under six or be pregnant. So she got it because she was pregnant. But I can't imagine bringing a baby or children into a home with lead pipes.
Me neither. And think about that for a second. You have a mother who's very well could be also getting poisoned water. That the baby's also getting poisoned. And then that baby's living and being born in an environment that is just unfortunately unsafe. And there's not
enough. Heaven forbid you need formula because I'm not mixing the water.
Absolutely, right? And let's say you can't afford going to the store and getting spring water or other drinking water. And so unfortunately, this problem exacerbates itself and it shows up in other areas of our life. And so that's why I am so hardened to try to get the lead out of Ohio once and for all, because anytime that kid is the canary in the coal mine, when it comes to assessing whether lead is present in the community, is when we have not done our job. And I want to see us do better at addressing this issue for our young people.
Part of the COVID federal dollars that were allocated under the Biden-Harris administration were focused on lead line removal. And earlier this month, they released a final rule requiring drinking water systems across the country to identify and replace their lead pipes within a decade.
Yes.
So obviously, I'm going to assume you're in favor of that EPA rule.
Absolutely.
But elections have consequences. Do you have any concerns about how the outcome of an election? Do you have any concerns about how this could change in the coming years?
Oh, absolutely. I think, priorities differ depending upon who is in leadership. And I think one of the things I'll say is, we just need to focus incredibly hard, not just at the state level, but at the national level, that any family that's dealing with lead pipes is a family that deserves to have clean drinking water. And so my hope and my prayer is that whatever we have, whoever is in office, whoever's leading this country or this state, sees this as an important issue for us to address head on, because family lives are at stake. And if we don't pay for it now, we pay for it later. We pay for it with ADHD, costs rising in terms of those who are having to get treatment for ADHD, those who have depression, those who ultimately may not graduate from high school because their cognitive abilities have declined.
Dementia and older
age. Heart disease, you name it, we pay for it. And so why not use the money appropriately to save lives, but also ensure that our communities are safe?
Yeah, one of the, you know, and in the beginning I said that we have between 500,000 and 750,000 lead pipelines. And the truth of the matter is we just don't know.
Right.
Which sounds almost unbelievable. We just don't know. So yeah. I wonder how would your bill help us to know better? And then secondly, do you think we should expand lead testing for children to maybe identify places where it exists?
Well, yes and yes, in terms of your second question. The first question is, so our bill does a number of things. We work with our municipalities to assess where they are in looking at finding their lead lines. And then we are, again, remember statewide standards. Right now, every municipality has their own set of rules as to how they're going to address or look at removing of these lines and whether they have the money to remove those lines. And so creating a statewide standard allows us to all kind of be at the same playing field. That's the first thing. In terms of testing, I am a huge proponent of not just testing in the early stages of a child's life, but also testing in later periods of a child's life. And let me tell you
why.
That
bone growth thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there are also kids who, for one reason or another, you may test them and they may have a low concentration of lead, but unfortunately they may have had that consistent presence of lead in their system over time. And that's just as bad as somebody who comes in with a spiked level of lead in their blood system. And so we got to be able to assess across the board if a child has continuous exposure or acute exposure. And that testing is such an important piece. But I'll tell you what, and this is why my mind my heart hurts for these kids, because they're suffering until they get tested. I am trying to do everything I can in my power as a legislator to look upstream so that no child has to be tested and has lead found in their system. We can actually get rid of this lead once and for all by investing in our infrastructure.
That was Columbus Representative Dontavius Gerrels. Thank you for your time today, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're getting a better picture of where the lead pipes in Ohio might be and what their impacts are. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. Somewhere between 9 and 12 million lead pipes still carry water to American homes and businesses. To mitigate the problem, we drop a calcium called orthophosphate in our water. It's supposed to coat the pipes and stop the lead from leaching out, but it doesn't always work. Take Flint, Michigan, for example. The only foolproof way to keep lead out of our drinking water is to replace the pipes. The problem is we don't know where they all are. Annalisa Rocha is the drinking water manager for the Ohio Environmental Council, and she joins us now. Welcome to All Sides.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Annalisa, the estimates for lead pipes in Ohio range from 500,000 to 750,000. Why don't we know how many we have?
Yeah, that is such an important question. Until very recently, there hasn't been requirements for water utilities to inventory these water lines. You know, so many of these water lines were put in so many years ago that, you know, we change how we file, and a lot of it has just gotten lost. But very recently, the US EPA did require that all water utilities create inventories and submit them to the EPA. And so we're really excited that those water line inventories recently were submitted earlier this October to the EPA. And in hopefully the next year or so, we'll see those publicly available to everyone. So we'll be much more, it'll be much more easy for your average homeowner to check to see if they might have a lead service line in their home.
Yeah, in preparing for this episode, I got a new appreciation for record keeping because, like you said, if the pipes were installed in the 1800s, you might literally have old pieces of paper with handwritten notes from plumbers and their crew, and it may not be totally reliable.
Right. We are really excited that it's now required that these inventories happen. And you know, and it's not acceptable to have unknowns written. You know, the EPA is requiring that these water utilities do go and test and figure out all of the unknowns.
According to the US EPA, drinking water can make up to 20% of a person's exposure to lead. So it's not small potatoes here. It can be very serious.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
So I asked Representative Gerrells this question, and I want to ask it of you, too. Replacing Ohio's lead pipes could cost between $4 and $5 billion in the coming years. What is the cost of not doing it?
Absolutely. And, you know, that $4 to $5 billion is a huge investment, right? But the cost of not doing this is so much higher. We have seen grave health effects in our children with lower IQs, in increased cases of ADHD and depression. You know, in adults, we have seen increased cases in cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, kidney and nervous system problems. And this will only continue to happen if we don't get the lead out. OEC did recently commission a cost-benefit analysis that actually put a dollar figure on what is the cost of doing nothing. And through this report, we found that, yes, this is a $5 billion investment to remove all the lead service lines. But for every dollar that we put in, we're going to see economic and health benefits of $32 to $45. That's going to grow Ohio's economy by an estimated $145 to $185 billion over the next 15 years. So yes, $5 billion is a big investment, but what we'll get out of it is tenfold the investment, and that will really create a prosperous economy for Ohio.
Your report, which I definitely recommend checking out for folks who want to do a deeper dive, also makes a point about higher wages. What's the connection there?
Yeah, so the connection there is we found that with removing those lead pipes, there will be an average IQ increase of 1.25 points. With that IQ increase, Those wages are then factored into that kid's future. So those are the increased wages that these children will be able to see because they didn't grow up with lead in their system and therefore have a higher IQ.
Ohio EPA is working with H2 Ohio now to give grants for lead pipe removal. It is small. It's focused mostly on daycare centers and families with small children. How do you think that's going so far?
Yeah, we really applaud the efforts of the DeWine administration and of the H2 Ohio program. They have done a lot in setting the groundwork and setting up a program to get this problem started in Ohio. We are also continuing to advocate for them to invest more money and more resources into this as well. But they are on the right track, and we're getting the program set up.
It was a real gut punch for me. I don't know about you, watching this video from H2 Ohio about the lead pipelines that they replaced for a daycare center. And, you know, I'm a mom. My heart dropped at the thought that these kids were in a daycare facility with lead water lines.
Yeah, it's really hard. You don't see lead in your water. There's pictures from Flint, Michigan that look like you can see lead in the water. That's mostly rust. If you turn on your faucet at home and you have a lead service line, you're not going to be able to tell that there's lead in your water. So that exposure is a risk everywhere you go. You should be safe at school and in daycares, and you just don't know. You think you're safe going to grandma's house, but grandma doesn't know she has a lead service line under her home. And so that the risk is there all the time, and it's really hard to detect.
The Biden and Harris administration recently issued a final rule requiring drinking water systems across the country to identify and replace their lead pipes within the next decade. You talked about that. They're submitting, and hopefully next year we'll get to know where they all are in Ohio. Do you think whoever the next administration is will impact whether that stays as a rule?
Yes, I think that's definitely a reality. We're looking at a potential administration that could come in and roll back some of the really strong rules that the Biden administration just finalized a couple weeks ago. Or we could be looking at an administration that comes in and even strengthens it further. So a lot is riding on this election for this issue.
When it comes to Ohio, Representative Gerald said he's starting the conversation now, and he hopes that it will be included in the budget next year. Is that what you are hoping for as well?
Yes, we are so excited that we get to work alongside Rep. Gerrells in our advocacy for lead service line replacement. We know that this is a very expensive investment for any community in Ohio. And so while we advocate for these lead pipes to come out, we advocate just as much for the funding to come with it to support the water utilities in the communities that need it most.
During the break, I got an email from a former Republican lawmaker named Gene Krebs, and I want to get your take on this. He said that the Ohio Public's work bond issue will be up for renewal soon. What do you think of having lead pipe replacement included in that public works bond?
I don't have a super specific answer on the work bond. I'm not too familiar with the specifications of it, but anywhere that we can fit lead service line replacement in and get some additional dollars for our community is somewhere that we support that money and that OEC is going to work to help find it.
You know, if somebody's listening, if they've been listening the whole time, they might be freaking out inside just a little bit, particularly if they live in an older home. Because you can't see it and you really can't taste it, how does someone go about figuring out whether they've got lead service lines?
Yeah, of course. So there's an easy penny scratch test that you can do in your basement where your water lines come into your basement home. If you go down there with a penny, you can scratch that water line. When you scratch that water line, depending on how it scratches, it will be able to tell you if you have lead or not. I believe that lead scratches black and copper, which will look very similar to a lead pipe from the outside into the average eye, then will scratch more of a copper color. So that's one way to try to test. Contacting your water utility to see if they have any information, is another way to try. But these aren't necessarily the easiest and most accessible ways. And so if you're able to get water filters and taking precautionary measures, that will always be beneficial.
Yeah, I know that I said earlier that we put a calcium into the water to try and prevent the pipes from flaking lead, but the older they get, the more likely they are to flake.
Yep. And as they get older, they are leaky pipes too. You know, there's a lot of benefits to replacing these pipes, even outside of just the health benefits for people. You know, we can save a lot of water loss too with these old pipes getting replaced.
Yeah, it really comes down to the expense because ultimately, a lot of times you're looking at trenching your front lawn and then replacing a pipe that goes from your house to where it connects with the main water. And then if the main water line still is a lead pipe, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, I don't believe there's many water mains in Ohio that are made out of lead. I believe they're mostly in our service lines. Now, some of them are on the public side, some's on your private side of the line, and so that can cause its own challenges there too.
Annalisa, final question for you, which is if lawmakers are listening, if members of the public are listening, what is the elevator pitch? What would you want them to communicate, maybe to their elected official, about why lead line replacement is so important and worth investing in?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no safe level of lead in our body. Exposure to lead, even at really low levels, can cause serious health effects in all ages and all people. You know, this is an issue that affects our children. It also affects our elderly. It affects our entire community, our low income to our marginalized communities. It touches everyone, whether you realize you have a lead service line, a family member might have a lead service line, and these health impacts are just too grave for us to not take them out now. We know lead's a problem. We've known lead has been a problem since the 50s and the 60s when we started outlawing this. It's time to take all of the lead out now.
That was Annalisa Rocca, the drinking water manager for the Ohio Environmental Council. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're getting the signs, symptoms, and treatments for lead poisoning. That's when All Signs continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Anna Staver. Drinking water contaminated with lead is harmful to children and adults of all ages. Even low levels can damage developing brains, reducing IQs, increasing the risk for attention disorders, speech delays, behavioral issues. And yet, daycare centers across Ohio still have tap water that flows through lead pipes. We've been talking about how Ohio is working to replace those lines. Now I want to pivot to the health impacts of inaction. Joining me is Edward Johnson, the Assistant Health Commissioner for Columbus Public Health. Welcome to All Sides, Edward.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Joel Davison, a pediatrician at Akron Children's Hospital's Lead Clinic. Welcome to All Sides, Dr. Davison.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Davison, I want to start with you. Why is lead exposure more dangerous for children than adults?
Yeah, thanks for the question and for highlighting this issue. So we think about lead. Lead's a heavy metal, a toxic heavy metal. It doesn't have any purpose in our bodies. We don't do anything with it. But lead can be irreversibly harmful to young developing brains. Lead does not have the same impact in older brains that it does in this first 0 to 5 years of age. And so that's why we talk a lot about younger kids being screened and evaluated for lead poisoning. Because of those lasting neurocognitive impacts in that developing brain.
What are some of the symptoms a parent should look out for? Like, what would be a sign that perhaps they need to get their kid tested for lead poisoning?
Well, one of the challenges, Anna, about symptoms is that actually at lower levels of lead poisoning, it's not eminently obvious that your child has been exposed to lead. At really, really high levels of exposure, so we're talking about levels that are like in the 60s or 70s or even higher, kids can have like a slowing, a mental slowing. They're just not acting right. But most kids actually are pretty asymptomatic, at least in the initial parts of their exposure. What we worry, and that's actually why kids need to come into the doctor's offices, come in for their checkups, and get screened and evaluated to see if they've been exposed to lead, especially if they're in a high-risk environment. We'll get to be talking about that, I'm sure, in a little bit.
Edward, we talked earlier about Cleveland's higher rate of lead pipes. What do we know about pipes and risks here in Columbus?
Absolutely. So I think when it comes to pipes and drinking water in Columbus, the first thing to know is that this is something our Department of Public Utilities has been aware of and has been on top of for quite some time. This isn't something that just popularly was known and then we acted on. So I would say probably for the past decade or two, Public Utilities has been taking the inventory of water pipes, pipes through which water travels, and they've been saying, we need to take an inventory. We need to know what the materials are that constitute that. I think that we are below 20% of what's known and unknown. So what's unknown is less than 20% of our inventory, and we're getting a very good hold on that. And so the work that Director Kristen Atha is doing, her predecessor, Director Tracy Davies, her predecessor, even Director Greg Davies, they've been working on Blueprint Columbus, which is to seal those lead service lines and to remove them from service. So we know that we've been very proactive about this. And what we feel is that lead exposure is not necessarily going to occur from drinking water here in Columbus. I think there are other environmental factors such as homes and lead paint where we're more concerned here in the Columbus area.
What kinds of services or screenings does Columbus Public Health offer?
Great question. So we always want to start with a screening for children under the age of 6. This is basically a finger prick. Where we're screening the blood to see if it's going to come back with an elevated blood level. This is something that should be happening or could happen through the pediatrician as well. And so for us here at Columbus Public Health, we are working on a pilot project in three of our historically redlined neighborhoods because we know the history of disinvestment in the housing stock there. And so what we're using with our public health nurses in our WIC clinics and at other community sites is to offer that finger stick to say, hey, we're concerned, we're able to do the screening, it takes a couple of minutes. And if it comes back elevated, we do offer the family the opportunity to have a confirmatory test, which is a blood draw. So when you're dealing with kids under 6, that's
not
a little
fun.
More not fun, yes. And we offer it there because we want to close that gap between screening and confirmation. But we also understand that families may say, hey, I want to do that with my pediatrician. It's a little more invasive. It's a little more of a controlled environment. But we want to make sure that that's available because we know that about in our three pilot neighborhoods, which are Linden, the Near East, and the South Side, there are about 7,500 children living in high-risk or at-risk housing units here in Columbus in those three neighborhoods alone.
And I do want to expand this conversation beyond lead pipes. I know it's been the focus of this hour, but Dr. Davison, you can get exposure from lead paint. You can get it from playing in the dirt outside of an old home because the paint chips have flaked into the soil around the house. How do I know, I guess, what do I do if I live in an older home?
Yeah, so Anna, the you know the everybody really kind of in the lead world thinks about 1978, and that's the year that we really removed from a public health standpoint, using policy to get lead out of paint. And so, if you live in a home built before 1978, that's something that is at risk. And I'm glad that you brought up water, and we're talking about water, you know, kind of started talking about water pipes, but water damage is actually another really big contributor to lead, even when your house has been renovated or updated or what we call abated, like where we've kind of deemed it to be lead safe, reasonable, you know, that there's lead somewhere in that built environment, but it's not to the point where it's actually getting aerosolized. It's not, there's no dust from that lead. It's not on surfaces, and so forth. But any water damage, like the water out on the side of the house, the drain pipes aren't working correctly, or there's a leak in the second floor bathroom that comes over the kitchen or into the dining room, a dining room. Those can be exposures because you're unroofing kind of some of the history of that home. So that's an important exposure. We've done a lot in the public health space also to evaluate childcare centers and daycare centers and schools. To minimize this exposure, you know, so those are the common areas. I think the other thing that the you know Centers for Disease Control has identified recently, we've in a pediatrics supplement that I was actually a pleasure to be a part of, firearm use is increasing, and dust and debris from that exposure is a real problem. We've heard about lead from food, and as we kind of think about our nation. International supply chain related to food and the assessment of the pieces that go into what our children eat. That's a growing exposure. And then just the e-commerce exchange, it like just buying things online, not knowing whether the toys that you're buying in those settings have lead in the manufacturing process. So those are some additional kinds of things that we need to be thinking about.
I will say you can buy lead-free bullets. They are more expensive most of the time, but if it is something that is very concerning to you, it is one way potentially to reduce your exposure. I am somebody, though, who loves old dishes, so I know that antique dishes, even cookware, can also contain lead. And, you know, friendly PSA, if you buy vintage Pyrex, if, say, grandma cooks in an old baking dish, a lot of old glass is leaded glass.
And you're absolutely right, Anna. We have some of those heirlooms in our family as well, and we've kind of since because of that knowledge, just kind of wrapped them up and kept them, you know, in the like remembrance phase, but without kind of using them on a regular basis. So thanks for bringing up that exposure. And you know, sometimes families that we've identified that have had high levels of lead, we sometimes cannot identify that source of lead in their environment because there's so many different places. That lead can come from. And I'm glad that you also talked about the outdoor exposure. We see more lead cases in our clinic in the summer months because kids are well, first of all, the doors are open and porches, covered porches are you know that are exposed to the weather are a common source in those older homes. And if those windows are being opened and closed and opened and closed, that develops, you know, just some of that lead dust that kids can get exposed to. But also just being outside. And, you know, we had lead in gasoline. That was another thing that we removed from the system, which had great public health impacts, and greatly reduced the lead exposure in children. But we still have a legacy of that and in industry throughout various parts of Ohio where, you know, lead became aerosolized and then rain brought it down into the soil. So if you are gardening in some of those areas where we know that there's a higher proportion closer to a freeway, and making sure that you're putting raised beds in and gardening in that way is
Yeah,
helpful.
if you live also, I believe airlines still use leaded fuel. And so if you live close to an airport, your exposure may be higher, particularly because as they take off and land. I do want to talk a little bit, Edward, about Columbus has resources for people looking to renovate their homes. They also have training for contractors looking to get certified. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, Columbus Public Health, in partnership with the City Department of Development and the City Department of Public Utilities, through our website at columbus.gov, we are looking to help assist just getting lead out of homes, getting it out of this environmental threat. And so, what we have come to find is that we have made a lot of strides, particularly in the mid-20th century, to say we need to get lead out of society. But I think we need to recognize, those major public health policies, those were implemented 46 years ago. Human beings have been using lead for thousands of years. And so this is a major change we're trying to make in 5 decades. And so what we want to do is provide those resources to not just encapsulate. Encapsulating is a good medium-term solution, but always has to be checked. We want to provide those resources to get lead out of the homes. And so a big part of that is going to be replacing old doors and windows, these high friction surfaces that really move and kick up lead paint dust in the homes. We still want to get it off of your walls that aren't necessarily moving, but we find that those are less the source than it is the old windows and doors that move. You're opening them, you're closing them, they're kicking up dust. You have children crawling around. You've got toddlers engaging in kind of hand-to-mouth behaviors. And so that's where we see a lot of those exposures coming from, and we want to replace those. Additionally, I know public utilities are starting to engage in a program where the hookups that are on individual property owners' land, or well, underneath the land, as the case may be, we're offering a program to replace those at no cost to the property owner as well, to say, how do we just want to remove the lead. Let's get it all out. Let's remove everything that we possibly can to remove that risk from people being in their homes. Additionally, we're not just looking at the homes where children live. If they stay with grandma and grandpa, that could be a place where there's a risk. We talked about what are some of these sources. Knowing that lead has been part of the human experience for 3, 4, 5,000 years, at times when we do case investigation, we have found the sources of lead poisoning to be makeup and other cosmetics or skincare products that families are using as well. And so we want to do that comprehensive investigation. We'll look at the home, we'll look at the water, we'll look at the cookware, as you mentioned, especially if it's older, or if it came from overseas. But then we're also going to kind of look at what is the daily routine as well, because we have found that some of those things have been the source of lead poisoning, particularly in young children.
I thought lead in makeup was prohibited. Is this you bought something from overseas and it came in with lead?
Yes, we
Okay.
our investigations recently are almost exclusively seen it in imported products.
That gave me a small heart attack, so I just wanted to double check. Also, Edward, I wanted to ask you, how do I make sure that a contractor is certified to do this kind of work? Because it can be expensive, and you want to make sure that they're properly sealing everything off.
Absolutely. So you can always ask to see their certifications to see if they have lead remediation and removal certification. That's something that us we here at Columbus Public Health, we are offering that free of cost to any contractor that wants to come in and receive that. We're also offering it in both English and Spanish, because for us it's a workforce development piece, and we look at essentially the old 1960s borders of Columbus. And we know that there's almost 160,000 housing units within those borders, which means there are 160,000 at-risk units. We want to make sure that anyone that works on those has the certification. This is a completely okay thing to ask a contractor if they have that certification, because if you live in an older home and they start working on it and they don't properly seal off, they're not properly controlling lead dust for remodeling or renovation, you have created an environmental threat and risk to your family and to any of the people that visit your home.
Dr. Davison, how do I begin this conversation with my pediatrician? Like, how do you say, I would just, do you just come out and say, I would like my kids tested for lead?
That can happen, and especially if you identify some risks after like this conversation and a little bit of research. There's so many resources available to for families to kind of understand the issue that we've been talking about today and some of these risks. So if your child if you're concerned about it, you need to talk to your healthcare provider about that. In Ohio, overall throughout the state, we have 40% of kids who should be tested either at the screening occurs at age 1 or age 2 if you really live in a high-risk zip code, if you have Medicaid as your insurance coverage, or if you have some known risk exposure based on some screening questions that we ask. And we're missing a lot of children. So You know, there's maybe even some healthcare providers or hospital systems that are listening in on this conversation. And on the healthcare side, our responsibility is to, in my opinion, is to get that testing while that patient's in front of you. Many offices have a challenge of not drawing blood or not drawing that finger prick right at the point of care, right when the patient's in front of them. And that's a systems thing that those offices and those hospitals need to figure out, I think, in order to get that screening improved. So, you know, but yes, if you start talking about this with your doctor, they do have a lot of knowledge about this issue and can help navigate some of the complexities, some of the resources that you've been talking about with Edward from Columbus Public Health and any other local health department that families may have access to. There's lots of available information, and that starts with a conversation.
And if you're eyeballing your dishes, I will say I personally like the 3M lead check swabs. You want to buy a lead testing kit at home that's like EPA approved for accuracy, but that could be the jumping off point for having a conversation with someone like Dr. Joel Davison, a pediatrician and co-director of the Lead Clinic at Akron Children's Hospital. Thank you for your time today, doctor.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you to Edward Johnson, Assistant Health Commissioner for Columbus Public Health.
Thank you, Anna. Have a great day.
And thank you all for listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.